Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I'm just jamming to the stream that's still going, and it's like, where's my foam? I had a foam sword and shield. I should have had it, because I felt like I should have been going on an epic quest for 8-bit goodness.
It is such a good theme. So for those of you who are wondering, our new theme song is done by the extremely talented Andrew Allen, who has also done the themes for shows like Current Geek over on the Frog Pants Network, and who also does the theme for Slaying Demons, which is my podcast with Jules and Nevermore. So
I was not aware.
Yes.
I must have missed that part.
So thank you very much to Andrew for putting together our new theme. It is very gamers-inny while still being all like, you know, fun and retro video gamey Mario. It fits. It's so perfect. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we needed some new digs because we're coming up on 5 years, and it's like we've had the same music for a very long time, and it's we definitely love the music, and maybe . In another couple of years, we can be like, all right, retro, let's go back to the classic, and then that'll be something special. But no, I'm really happy with the new music, and Andrew did a fantastic job, and he always does a fantastic job, and he just doesn't do jazz. He does 8-bit as well.
He does all kinds of fun stuff, and I believe his website is andrewallenmusic.com, I think. I probably should have looked that up before the show, but
AndrewAllenMusic.com. This is going to be an experiment.
Yeah. Great radio.
Yep. That's him. Boom.
Okay. Perfect. So AndrewAllenMusic.com. If you guys want to get your own podcast theme songs or any kind of custom music work, he is awesome to work with. And so check him out. So this is episode 240 of The Gamers Inn. I haven't been playing too much outside of Warcraft, although I did get into some stuff. But Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Warcraft stuff, because it's all new to you.
It's true. I've been very busy, as everyone probably noticed when I was not here last week. Just lots of stuff going on. We're trying to sell the house. I'm working on some new projects at work, and we'll touch on that a little later. But in terms of WoW, I got some serious WoW time in yesterday. And by serious, I mean I pushed myself over the edge through rested experience to get to 110 in Legion. And then I had the experience that everyone else talked about. There's a bunch of quests opened up. And it's like Dalaran just lit up like an emergency board. It's like, oh my gosh, everyone's got a quest. There's carts on fire. Like, that was the thing that got me. I walked through Dalaran. I'm like, oh, Khadgar wants to talk to me. This should be good. And then there's just this cart on fire. And you have to put it out. And I'm like, what does this have to do with me hitting 110? Really? And I guess it starts an investigation and I'm still working on it, but... I literally just hit 110, and it shows the world quests, how you have to hit friendly and all the Legion reps. So I've got to go to High Mountain for a bit, and then I got to go do Suramar. That's right, Suramar.
Suramar, yes.
That sounds so wrong, but yeah, so right. So I got to do that, and then go to the weird crackhead place and help them. I don't know, get their fixins. But I was curious, how long will it take me to get to friendly in just questing High Mountain and Suramar? Do I have to do the
Not
whole zone?
Not very long. Okay. No, I think I did the main storyline and I was past friendly easily.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And when I say main storyline, I literally mean, I followed, I don't even know. Oh, did I do the Blood Totem stuff? I don't even think I did.
Oh, so you just beelined it through the moose totem stuff, the moose totem?
Yeah, just whatever thunder totem, that kind of storyline with the new chieftain and stuff. I don't even think I got to the point, I did the Sky Mountain stuff with the harpies, and then I don't even think that I had to go any further than that, or Sky Mountain, Sky Talon, whatever, that tribe. I didn't even have to go to the other tribe because it makes you split at one point and gives you the option to go to the Blood Totem or to the Sky People. And I just went to the Sky People and then I was friendly. So,
okay.
Well, and I'm gonna try that. Josh is saying doing all the quests in the zone will normally take you up into Honored. Yeah. So you'll usually be Honored by the time you're done a zone. And that's true. Just to get to friendly, you don't have to You don't have to do too much. It's pretty easy.
And people are raving about World Quest. So, like, what... So, just the cliff notes here. Like, World Quests are just more quests, right? Like, why should I be excited about World Quest? Everyone's all gung-ho about World Quest.
Yeah, so they are... They are, they're very, first of all, they're very rewarding, which I think is why everyone is so excited. So it's really easy. Like, I mean, you can get hundreds of gold in one shot. You can get, big upgrades to gear, huge, huge impacts on your artifact power. So you can get like anywhere from kind of, well, I guess mine's a little skewed now because I've done all my artifact research, but, or not all my artifact research, but I'm on track with where I should be after a month. With my artifact research. So it's, yeah, I think anywhere from like 300 to like 1500 or 2000 artifact power per world quest. Like it's just, it's really, really rewarding. And a lot of it is stuff that you did while you were questing in the zones. So like you, for instance, the one that pops into my mind right off the bat is, do you remember in Valshara where you get to be a wisp and you have to go make the trees grow? Did you do that quest? It was like you had to hop around the water and not get eaten by the fish.
No, I don't remember that. Is that like a side thing that just doesn't... Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, yeah,
I did Valshara.
The quest giver is near the Grove of Cenarius.
Okay.
So it's like... I think after he falls, so when you're like on the way to the Temple of Elune, you can find the quest giver. Oh, okay. But it's very much a side quest.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to World Quest. I'm looking forward to doing more dungeons. I got to wrap up Azuna right now. I went, and I think when we were talking, what was Azuna? I thought Azuna was kind of like bland, but then started to do more of the side quests because I had finished the main quest, which was just the weird ghost people, and then
the Harry Potter.
Like, no, I like that.
Academy.
That was really cool. That was the best part about that. But everything else was, you know, the story was interesting because it was connected to like novels I read like 10 years ago. I think even before, I don't know when that came out, but I'm pretty sure I read it like before World of Warcraft came out. Yeah, I really liked the blue dragons. Like they sort of disappeared for a bit, or maybe I didn't pursue that quest hard enough because I went back to it and it continues onwards, and I thought that was really good, and that's where I got my first taste of Mr. Crackhead, or Crackheads, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm super stoked to hit one now that I am 110 to do more. We were talking about, you know, leveling up and doing heroics and because I want to do more dungeons. I like the dungeons, but I want the dungeons to be more difficult because I've been doing looking for group a lot, and that's sort of just like just put your head down and move it into the mobs, and you'll be fine. You know, mash 1, 2, 3, 4, you're good to go. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some more mechanics, but without the need to have a schedule for raiding. You know,
it does get a lot more difficult once you get into Mythic, and specifically Mythic Plus, which is basically the same idea as Diablo, where you get a keystone, and depending on how you perform in the dungeon, your keystone will get better and better, and your gear will get better and better. And that sounds like what you're looking for. Although any of the Mythic things you can't just queue into. You can queue into normal and heroic, but you have to do like group finder in order to actually find a group, and then you have to walk into the dungeon for Mythic. So,
right.
But yeah, Mythic is good. It's a lot of new mechanics, and it is punishing without being like really over the top and frustrating.
Okay.
Like you feel like you can actually learn it and progress as opposed to like raid, which you feel like you're doing everything right and you're still dying sometimes. So right. Yeah, I think I'm really enjoying just dungeoning in general, this expansion, which is something I haven't in the past. But I would say make sure that you're even above gear level for some of the things. So like you need 810 to get into heroic. And I found any group that I've run with two or three people at that kind of like 810 to 820 threshold, they're really hard to actually, like, you wipe a lot. So, you know, you should kind of be whatever the minimum is for the next level up of content, like, you should kind of be at that level in order to progress more easily through. So, like, I think 825 is what's recommended for Mythic. Mm-hmm. But I would recommend 825 for heroics with no wipes sort of thing. So
that's like, so you don't have to really try hard, just, you know,
yeah,
be above
exactly.
that bar.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we're still at that point in the game where people aren't all at 825. Because I remember when I was doing Draenor looking for group, I was sort of jumping in, jumping out, and people had, you know, scaled much higher than me way quicker. So whenever I was queuing into dungeons just to literally check the box that I've done all the content that's possible, people were just like way overpowered, and they're like, okay, little warlock, just stand back, summon your imp, you'll be fine. You know?
Yeah.
And I'd go about my merry way of just, you know, firing shadow bolts at whatever was targeted with a skull. But no, I'm, you know, it's weird. I sort of played a lot of Legion, then dropped off when Destiny came out, and then I think Destiny, the expansion, just really fell flat, like in terms of an additional amount of content. You know, very, you know, punishing to those who don't have groups. Like for me, I have a limited amount of time. I can jump in and I can jump out. So unless someone is already playing that I can sort of poke and say, hey, come play stuff with me. I know there are people out there, but it's that game very much punishes people who are playing on their own. And I just love that Warcraft's been like, yeah, come on in, use the looking for group, you'll be fine. You'll have plenty of people to play with, even if you don't know a single person playing at that. And that's impossible. I know lots of people who are playing. They're just way out geared and doing things like
raiding.
I know,
we're all way ahead of you.
I know. So I'm trying to catch up so I can, you know, when you say, oh, we're going to run heroics, it's like, oh, can you, God, I got 780. Like, I just unlocked 110, man. I don't even have my third, like,
honestly,
tier.
If we weren't, and actually I think we're going to run Black mm-hmm. Recalled on normal right after this. So if you wanted to come with us, you could for that.
Okay.
Because you can run normals, you just can't run heroics. And the great thing about 110 is that now you've unlocked an extra 4 or 5 dungeons, I think.
Yes.
So yeah, you've got a lot of content there to see now.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to trying that new content and doing... I really want to try World Quests because I like the idea of progressing, and because I was playing so little of the game and using so much of the app, I burned through all my resources.
Oh yeah, resources is another thing you get through world questing a lot. So
it would be nice to feed that itch of wanting to have missions going constantly. So for like the last 2 weeks, I've had no missions going, and it's been driving me crazy. So I'm looking forward to jumping back in and playing more of that. I had a blast yesterday. I'm back, I guess. Not that I went anywhere. I just been busy and whatnot. But I know you've been playing. Every time I log in, it's like, oh, Jocelyn's playing Warcraft. Where is she now?
I was going to say, yeah, speaking of being back, I did actually go back, mm-hmm. Not to Warcraft, but to Sims 3. 3, not 4.
Wow.
Because, and I believe I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but Sims 3 and all the DLC was on sale on Steam for like a ridiculously low amount. It was like something like $2 to $4 per DLC expansion, and in The Sims they're full expansions in most cases. And then it was like, I think it was like $2 for a stuff pack, which is like just a bunch of items, and then $4 for an expansion, which usually had like much more content, a new world, new jobs, new everything else. So, and then the base game itself was something like $10 or $15, something like that. So like altogether for like $70, you basically got the whole Sims 3 bundle, which was mm-hmm. amazing. So I was just like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm going to get it through Steam. I'm going to, cause I fell off near the end. I only ended up buying a few of the expansions. So I kind of filled out the rest of my collection. And, but I hadn't had a chance to actually like install it and play it. And I was thinking like, I've been so down on Sims 4 and I've been really, really wanting that experience. So maybe I need to like go back to Sims 3. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Like maybe it's not as great as I thought it was. Oh my God, dude, it's so much better.
Yeah. It's weird like, how a game, like they can produce a sequel and just not iterate at all in a way that makes past players happy. Like,
well, all the things that I had remembered, like, were, like, that it was more complicated, that the view distance was further, that you could, you know, like, navigate around the towns without loading screens, and I was like, am I just crazy? Because it seems like, why would you take all that functionality out? And so then I was like, maybe I'm just remembering everything wrong. And then so I went back in and played. And you can just like, you literally like take a taxi and you can see your little sim in the taxi as he's going to wherever he wants to go. And like, super, super easy. Then like, and they didn't dumb down all of the things that you have to manage, because the whole point of the game is managing your sim and his life and needs and wants and stuff. So...
Yes, making sure your sim's needs and wants are met. Like, I don't know, making sure the stove doesn't light on fire and kills your next door neighbor.
Exactly.
Key issues that come up at least once when you're trying Sims for the first time. I have not played The Sims since that fateful day. I think I was playing Sims 1 and I like invited my neighbor over and his wife, and then the house burned down. Killed him, and it's like, well, I don't know, there's a jacuzzi in the back. Like, this was a long time ago. And then I think I locked someone in the bathroom and took the door out, and they peed themselves to death. So I'm a mad scientist, I guess, when it comes to this game now.
Well
that's the story I go with. I'm sure I've told it a few times on this show, but
I'm pretty sure that that's everyone's like day one of Sims experience. Yeah. It's like, how many ways can I screw with these guys?
Yeah, now that I've fulfilled my darkest dreams, let's actually play the game.
Well, because it's a strategy title, right? And so what I find with Sims 4 is, it, even if you could get past like less features, less draw distance, like a town that doesn't feel lived in, like all that, even if you get past all of that, they've dumbed down the strategy stuff too. Like, you go from having eight things, like eight needs to manage, to six needs to manage, and then so that's literally like a quarter of your strategy just gone. Like, right. And then I mean, there were so many more careers, like every expansion added like more and more and more things that you could do. I went in to look at the options for Sims 3, and it's like, you can even do things like change how long like your aging stuff is, and like, so you can say like, I want my Sims to stop aging, or I want, you know, it to be 50 sim days as a teenager and 50 sim days as a young adult, and you know, like, or you can say I want 2 days, and so you totally decide like how quickly you move through generations, and like, it's just, it's such a robust experience. So if you guys, I have Windows 10, if you guys are interested in any type of Sims title, I highly recommend going with Sims 3 on Steam, and it does work on Windows 10. I had small problems, but I just restarted my computer and then everything worked. So basically, like, I had to install and then restart the computer and then it worked. But yeah, like, I mean, easy peasy stuff, and it works fine. It's great. My new graphics card is just killing it. So I really, really, really enjoy and recommend Sims 3, because that's just, it's got everything, everything. Mm-hmm. So many interesting expansions that I haven't even like played around with. Like, I think there's like Into the Future expansion or something that's all like high tech and robots, and like, I haven't even touched that content yet. And I can feel myself getting sucked into the Sims world again.
Right. So you have Sims 4, but like you said, it's just not an experience that you would recommend. So do you feel like when they announce Sims 5 that you're going to be in, you're going to at least like look at it, or do you feel like they're just going to keep putting games out and then making you rebuy the same expansions?
I think that's exactly what they're doing, is they're just using the Sims name now, and they're putting out absolute shit, and I'm not feeling it. So, I mean, the thing is, like, Sims 3 looks fine. Like, you can tell that like the textures and stuff are a little bit dated, but I mean, it still looks fine. Like, it's totally playable. You can zoom all the way in, like, you can, and there's tons and tons and tons and tons of custom content you can download,
right?
Not even like through random websites like you used to have to do in Sims 1, like literally legitimately through like the EA community and store and stuff. It's all like vetted as add-ons and mods and stuff like that, and you can actually go in and just get everything through there. You don't even really have to go outside of like official EA things if you don't want to. So I mean, there's custom content everywhere, which then will include better textures, because like they'll still have the same number of polygons, but you can change like what the image is that's displayed on those polygons. So Yeah, I mean, like, it just, there's no reason to update past Sims 3, and EA is just trying to make money, and if they do announce a Sims 5, well, they can just F right off.
Yeah. I think you're running into the same thing as if they were to announce another SimCity. They'd have to really prove themselves, and I mean, Sims 4 must be selling well enough because they're still putting expansions out. I just did a quick search for Sims 5, and it's like, nope, there's a new expansion that they were showing off just yesterday, so... they must come out with an expansion every week or every month.
They do come out with expansions fairly often. It's usually on about a 6 to 8 month rotation.
Sure.
And it's just they used to do that too for original Sims. Like, that's always kind of been their development cycle. It's been very fast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it feels like they must have just gutted the team, because what they are putting out every 6 to 8 months is nowhere near the quality it used to be. So,
right. I think Maxis at this point is just a label. Like, I think, I don't think there's people working for Maxis, but I doubt it's what it used to be. It's definitely not what it used to be.
Yeah. Neo Run Neo in the chat room is saying, speaking of Sims, have you ever tried Banished? I haven't. Have you tried Banished?
It was one of those games that looked really interesting and never... I picked it up, as is the norm. I bought it on Steam sale and then never played it. I think it came out a few years ago. I think we actually both own it.
I'm sure that we do. Yeah.
And I don't know, like, if that's something that is similar to The Sims, it might be worth checking out. I remember the art style being more, what's the word I'm looking for? Age of Empires-esque.
Okay.
You know, more like wooden huts and straw roofs and stuff like that. So I need to try it. And
Of remembering this now.
Yeah, I'm sure if you Google it and you look at it, it's like, oh, this game. I never played it.
Is it one of those like early access titles? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
It was early access, I believe.
I'm wondering if I never went back to it after an early access experience.
Yeah, it came out 2014. Now I'm looking at like a video of it, and it actually looks pretty neat. Like, there's road building. This is Sims. This is Sims, but set in more like of a Viking era.
Is it like Sims or is it like Sim City? Because they're two different things. So like Sim City is city building, and then The Sims is like household and family building. So it's much more like micromanagement than it is like macro city management.
I don't know. The video looks more like city management, but then, you know, like, there was still, like, house building in Sim. Okay, so Neo is saying Sim City. So, So Sim City, but...
Which is still solid.
Yeah. Anything that runs better than the original Sim City, or the Sim City
not
that
the original
out,
Sim
not
City,
the original. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Everyone looking at their phones or...
Blasphemy.
Yeah. The last Sim City. But no, you know, City Skylines is really good if we're looking at Sim City games, like, that you should play instead of the most recent one. But, like, The Sims, like, is that a game that people, you know, mimic in terms of gameplay? Is there a The Sims game that you can play that came out in the last couple of years that isn't The Sims 4 that kind of competes graphically, I wonder?
Not really. Not that I can think of. I'm sure Chat Room is definitely going to correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that kind of a strategy and a simulation game hasn't really been copied, at least to the point of, say, like City Skylines that I've heard of as a kind of better SimCity. I haven't heard of a better Sims. I don't know. That would be interesting. I feel like I should Google that after the show and just be like, hey, if I like Sims, what else will I like?
it'll be interesting to see, because I know that PC gaming is just this plethora of options when it comes to, you want to play a space sim? Well, here's a smorgasbord of things you can play, and there's something new you can try every day if you really wanted to. And I feel like that works across the board for whatever genre, unless it's super niche. And I'm not saying the Sims is niche. It's more like, maybe EA just has it on lockdown and people don't even want to go near it, because it's a pretty ambitious game if you're looking to build something like that. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on the Sims sort of like esque game. Maybe Hi-Rez should get on it. They're really good at sort of like making games that aren't quite that other game that we, you know, we play sometimes.
But kind of totally are that other game that we play sometimes.
I've been hearing about that lately. Like, Paladins has been on our radar for a while, but suddenly, like, online, in podcasts, just in general, I've been hearing people like, you hear about this Paladins game? It's like, well, Overwatch.
Didn't Paladins just actually release? Isn't that why people are talking about it now?
I think it's...
Isn't it officially, like, out of beta?
It's on Steam as well. So I'm not sure if it's out of beta, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the catalyst that sort of, like, threw the fuel on the fire. Because I guess there's now a character that is literally, like, a dwarf with
with a turret and a...
Yes, thank
gun,
you.
Like a... Yeah, and yeah. There's
a hook guy.
There's a hook guy. There's a guy that's very similar to Reinhardt. And I don't remember them being... that designed that way, I guess. Mm-hmm.
When we first started playing it.
Yeah, so, and I mean, obviously we started when beta first became available, and I fell off quite quickly. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought it would. And I'm wondering, Paladins just went into open beta. That's what it is. Thanks, Jim. Paladins is now in open beta. Okay. So I don't know. And Jim is our kind of resident high-res Paladins expert. So I'm wondering if, like, do you still have to do the cards and all the stuff that you used to do? Is card collecting still a thing? Because you had to kind of almost deck build while you were playing. And it was kind of like talents, but more random, so...
Yeah. It changed based on who you were playing with. Like, I know the card mechanic's still there, but they changed the way you got the cards because it went from a paid experience to a free-to-play experience. But, I think that's a really cool mechanic in that, you know, you could build this good hand and also look at your team players' hand and... it was just a good sort of mix up or mixing up the cards. But with Overwatch, it was like, just, you know, you're just going to go out there and shoot people and use the hero abilities and the different map abilities. So that was the one thing it had going for it. And also, like, gave you another... I don't know if you have to buy, like, card packs, but it gave you another reason to put money into the game besides just cosmetic items. It was also just you could earn those card packs. But, you know, Jim's also saying, yeah, the turret guy was in it for a while. I guess I played it early enough that I remember a guy who built something. But I don't think he looked quite as, like, Toblerone. So, Toblerone.
Ryan is talking about Torbjorn, if you guys are wondering who Toblerone is.
Toblerone. I haven't played Overwatch in a while. Like, I put that money in for the loot boxes, and I'm like, I'll wait till the next time.
I am sure that Paladins is just suffering from the fact that its competitor is made by Blizzard and came out first.
Yeah, like, definitely got revealed first, yeah. Yeah, but... Jim's now saying you can build loadouts with cards from the menu. Pick which ones you want to put more points into to enhance them. Select which loadout you want at the beginning of the game. And there are no more in-game leveling of cards. Ah, that's kind of
okay.
I like that aspect where you could kind of, like, boost your cards throughout the game.
And I wonder if that's, like, maybe why now since that was kind of the thing that set the game apart, at least visually, I'm wondering if that's the... why people are drawing such a parallel now, where maybe they weren't when it was in closed beta, or maybe it just wasn't on anybody's radar because it was in closed beta. So if you weren't into high-res games already, like we were with Smite, you just didn't really see anything that had to do with Paladins. I don't know, but you're right. I see so much stuff right now just going like, WTF, is this Overwatch ripoff?
Yeah, and that's a common reaction of folks that, you know, aren't as involved with high-res properties like we are, like having played Smite. When they announced a new game, like, awesome. Two great games in the style of Team Fortress 2. I'm all for it, you know, and I think we've touched on this before. I think people give Blizzard a pass because they're Blizzard, but, like, they weren't creating... There was even a three-part documentary that GameSpot put out that basically confirmed the facts, like, no, we're really big fans of Team Fortress 2 and other team-based shooters. We're going to make a game like that with a Blizzard twist, like... There's nothing wrong with building products that are similar to others. I think it's just easy for folks that, you know, right, know a lot about Overwatch and then look at Paladin and say, oh, this is just like Overwatch. Without kind of thinking, oh, these games are both like Team Fortress 2, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, Overwatch has been compared to Team Fortress 2 a lot.
Yes.
Basically, like Overwatch just has more characters because Team Fortress was 4 characters or 5 characters, right?
Yeah.
I didn't play a lot of Team Fortress 2, so I don't really know, but
yeah, it was like five classes, but they were essentially 5 characters. So you had the sniper, the soldier, the scout,
the medic,
and the pyro.
Yeah.
Is there not one? Oh, the engineer. So there were 6.
Okay.
Anyway, I played like 1 match. I was like, what the hell's going on here? And I stopped playing. It was so overwhelming. You know how you jump into a multiplayer game?
What I remember from Team Fortress 2, I think, was like a trailer or something for the pyro. And it was like basically how he sees the world. And he's spraying fire, but he sees it as like rainbows and like unicorns and flowers and stuff.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
The marketing that Valve did for Team Fortress 2 was way better than any game of Team Fortress 2 I played. Because again, I wasn't really into the game, but I watched all those videos and they were so well done. Like the medic one was really good. They were called Meet the Soldier, Meet the Medic, Meet the Pyro. Yeah. Oh, so well done. I kind of want them to build a Team Fortress 3 just so we get more of those videos because we haven't had one in years, a long time. Valve, build something that isn't Dota, please. Or Counter-Strike.
That's asking way too much.
Yeah, Counter-Strike and Dota are like, you know, they print money. So I don't blame them. But it would be nice to get a game from Valve that plays to my strengths, I guess. Like something single player, please.
More Portal.
Oh, Portal. I saw news for like a Portal movie. I don't know if you saw that. It's been in the news a long time, but I guess JJ's like, yeah, we're going to announce something soon for Portal. We're working on it. I have a meeting with Valve, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. I was not expecting that news, but oh man, a Portal movie would be so good.
Yep. Portal everything is so good. I literally have Portal the board game, and it's so fun.
What? I got to look that up. I think you guys showed it to me. Yeah, I need to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been so long.
So what have you been playing then, if you haven't been playing the Portal board game?
No. I have been playing The Division. So a mutual friend of ours, Boulanger, says, I got a new computer and it does all the things. Do you want to play a game?
Do you want to do all the things?
I unfortunately can't do all the things because I don't have a new computer. But I did pick up The Division and we've been playing co-op in that game. And I played the beta way back in early this year, like January, February, and I liked it. I like a third-person shooter. I like a good third-person shooter, and this game feels very good. The mechanics are solid, but it always felt like a game that would be better experienced with other people. And it's one of those online games where you have to kind of group up, because I have not come across, and maybe it's because I am grouped up with Boulanger, but I have not come across other people in sort of the main areas. Now, there are social spaces, and I know there is like the dark zone where a bunch of people exist and it will populate with enemies, but just running around would feel very like, I don't know, lone soldier as you're running through the streets and just people wandering around yelling at you like NPCs. But no, it's a lot of fun. I think it's post-apocalyptic after a virus or something, and you're there to clean shit up, and I don't know. It's really cool. And you know, there's like threat mechanics, so you can like shoot a dude and you can suppress people, and that allows like your, so I'll like suppress someone and say, okay, like, you know, make your way around and catch him off guard and stuff. It's really a lot of fun, and again, like in that line of playing online games with other people, and it's been a while since I played a shooter online, so I'm digging it. Now, you didn't try The Division beta, did you? Did you give that a shot when it was up?
No, I didn't. No, I never really got into The Division. Matt was playing it, but wasn't really my thing.
Yeah, it's just been a fun distraction, you know, just to play every once in a while. And I'm only playing it with Matt, so like it's kind of that just a small amount of time to play it. Like, it's been out for a while, so I don't know what I could say that people haven't already heard. But I think I picked it up on sale on PC for like $30.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's been long enough that
you can pick it up. Was it a Steam sale?
No, there was a Steam sale, I think, but it was like $50. I think I picked it up like either Green Man Gaming or something. Another site, not Steam. But I think there's a season pass that's like an astronomical value, as is always the case. You know, the season pass never goes on sale, which is unfortunate, but Yeah, it's a really fun game. The mechanics are solid, and it's way better than Destiny's latest offering. So it's nice to play an online shooter that feels like it's substantial. Cool. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to get to the raids or anything, but I'm looking forward to just like sort of trudging through the main campaign. I hear it's about 30 hours, so I highly doubt I'll get through all of it. But yeah, if it ever goes on sale, I highly recommend checking it out if you just want something else to play. It's really fun just taking dudes down, and there's like some cool like little mechanics you get. Like it's all like a talent system, so you pick skills and classes, and then you pick perks based on your progression and stuff. It's very MMO-y in just the way you pick your abilities and stuff. It's kind of refreshing when playing a third-person shooter and not just, you know, I don't know, progressing and picking up new guns. There's gear, there's levels, there's like colored gear too. So you're like picking up legendaries and stuff, which is a nice twist. It's very Borderlands-esque in that aspect where you're picking up guns and gear and stuff. But
is
yeah,
it like to the point that Borderlands was, because I found I got burnt out on min-maxing my gear in Borderlands pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad where stuff's dropping a lot, but you can pick it up and instantly tell whether it's something better or not, and you're not picking up something new every time you kill something. Most of the time you're picking up either, you know, gear that won't like help you, or you're picking up like little add-ons and mods for your weapons and stuff. I found probably when we were progressing through the story, I'd have to stop like every two or three encounter to kind of, you know, move stuff around and dismantle items I wasn't using anymore. Not that I was running out of inventory. It was probably just like an OCD thing, kind of just having to clear my inventory. But no, it's not quite like the Borderlands where you're constantly picking up new weapons that do different stuff, and you have to say, okay, everybody, wait, I got to see what this like laser death weapon does. Oh, it lights everybody on fire every 3 seconds. Okay, like, no, it's not like that. It's like, man, this one has a higher damage rifle. You know, it's more based in the real world as opposed to the weird weapons of Borderlands. But yeah, it's kind of like Ubisoft's answer to Destiny. Like, this is their big online shooter that I think mm-hmm. we're going to see content constantly being added. Like, I know the season pass, I think it's got one more expansion left. Could be wrong on that, but we'll probably see like a Division 2 soon, probably in line to compete with Destiny. But a lot of people like The Division. Like, I was not aware how like big that game is and how many people are playing it. So yeah, it's been nice to play a third person shooter again, especially online with other people. Mm-hmm. But
very yeah. cool. Well, I think that was my big problem this week, actually, and has been my problem for a few weeks now, where I haven't had anything new and different to play, and sure. it's always been a struggle, like, just getting something to talk about after I felt like I'd talked about Warcraft enough, because I always hate talking about the same content, same game over and over, mm-hmm. even when I'm literally playing the same game over and over. I feel like, for gamers and specifically, I should be playing at least one new thing each week, and it's been really hard. That's why I went back to Sims 3, is because mm-hmm. I literally went into my Steam library and sorted by, like, I think recently played or recently added or something, mm-hmm. and I was just like, man, like, I don't have a lot here. And then I was looking at like new releases and popular new releases, and I was like, there's nothing that is grabbing me on this list. And I know we're like right before all the big releases that come late October, early November sort of thing. Like, we've got in a couple of weeks, it's really going to ramp up, and it's going to ramp up quickly. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, man, oh man, I can't find anything right now. So maybe I do need to do something like go and try The Division and kind of look back at the last 6 months and see if there were any big titles that I missed. Cause like, man, it's been rough for the last few weeks.
Yeah, I've said this to you before, like, I don't think it's about playing, like, something new each week. I think it's about having an experience to share and to, you know, contribute to the conversation. I think that's where, you know, Sims 3 is perfect. I got to tell a story again about how I murdered my neighbor's wife, or no, I murdered my neighbor and stole his wife.
And stole his wife.
Yeah.
And then murdered her.
No, I don't think that happened. I think I actually, like, married her, but it turns out the neighbor was, like, my brother's character. And he didn't play the game after that. But it, again, like it warrants those conversations. And yes, of course, like next week, Gears is out. I'm probably going to talk about Gears. And that is a new release that we can mm-hmm. sort of riff off of. But yeah, like these last few weeks, combined with it being, you know, busy and for, you know, it's been busy, you know, and combined with the fact that there's not a lot of new games coming out, we're still getting into that rush period. But yeah, but if we could buy a new game each week, but you and I both know that there's no way in hell we're going to be able to finish a new game each week. Like we're past that point now, especially with the, you know, Legion being out and Heroes being so interesting, Hearthstone. Like there's just so many different experiences out there, and it's not like
all from Blizzard that you just talked to. All the ones you just talked about were from Blizzard.
Yes, that is true. Maybe that's part of the problem, but I think that really the games that are coming out now are built to last. Like we have to build in all this stuff so people don't turn us off or turn us into EB Games or whatever. Like they're trying to build these experiences that last multiple months, so the value of the game drops. You don't turn it back in, right? So The Division, for example, is like when they announce it, it's like, and don't worry, we'll have a season pass and we'll add free patch content. And there's just, I don't know how people play like just one game constantly. Like there are people we know that play a lot of Heroes, and that is a majority of their gaming time is in Heroes of the Storm. Mm-hmm. But it's because they unleash something new every 3 weeks. Like you just have to get a little bit bored, and then, oh, well, I just saw on Twitter, you know, funny enough, on Twitter, we're going to announce a new hero tomorrow on Facebook. And it's like, geez, didn't Zarya just come out? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's not really a problem. It's an embarrassment of riches. But I don't think we should ever feel bad about being like, nah, this week I just played WoW because all the stuff coming out is just, I don't have time or money or... You know, I was looking at Super Mario RPG Color Splash. I'm like, that looks interesting. But then I thought, Gears comes out in 4 days. It's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to have time to play that game, let alone get it shipped from Amazon. Like, nah.
Oh, my God. I have such a sad story for you. So we went to Best Buy because I wanted to try on Apple Watches. And then it turns out that they're really expensive and more expensive than I thought. I was looking at American pricing. Turns out Canadian pricing, more expensive.
Add like anyways, $150.
Yeah, that's not the sad story. The sad story is then I said, okay, well, you know, Apple Watch is a bust. Sad face. Let's go and look at the video games. There's nothing in those aisles anymore, Ryan.
I know. Amazon is killed. Yeah. There are more plastic figurines at Best Buy than there are games in actual... It's kind of like... I was going to Best Buy for work, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take 5 minutes. I'm going to go look at the games. And it's like, I spent a minute just walking up the aisles. I think I spent more time being like, I have this amiibo, and then I put it back. And like, There's no browsing anymore at those stores because it's all like, here's our 16 copies of Call of Duty that came out last year that we can't sell because y'all bought it online.
Yeah, exactly. And there's even like, there was one full like section because you know how like the aisles are kind of split into like sections of shelves. So there was one section that was probably like 5 feet wide, maybe 6 feet wide. And it was this big poster for Final Fantasy, still saying that Final Fantasy had like come out in September. And I turned to Matt and I was like, that's not right. Like, I know that as amazing as Legion is, you would be playing Final Fantasy if it was available right now. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, no, that got bumped. And that got bumped like 6 months ago. Like, yeah. Best Buy is just not even updating their posters in the gaming section because nobody comes here anymore.
Best Buy can't be bothered to put a sticker on it. Like, oh, yeah, the sticker's exactly, in the back.
Exactly, exactly.
No, so, the store has its place, right? It's still a good place to go buy like accessories that you just want to have in your hand and be like, you know, like online, it's kind of tough sometimes to buy a case for something. Like those stores still exist to the footprint of like the size they are, maybe not, but I don't go to Best Buy the store to buy games anymore. Like I'll still buy them online when they have sales, but you know, they don't even do in-store. I don't do in-store pre-orders anymore because that's just a hassle. Like I just do it all online.
It made me so sad to see that, like, you could literally take what was left of gaming and condense it into not even a full aisle, just like one half of one aisle, and that would be it. And they've got, it's like still taking up four or five aisles of space, because it used to be like there was an aisle for Nintendo, there was an aisle for Xbox, there was one for PlayStation, and then there was one for like portable gaming accessories and all that kind of like extra stuff. And now it's just like there's none of that. Like, they don't even have accessories anymore. I'm like, what?
You can buy a controller and you can buy this other controller that looks like Gears. Walmart has more games, so.
Yeah, exactly. I was so sad. So that's my story of woe, but
Poor Best Buy.
Poor Best Buy. But speaking of things that you can buy online, if you go to etch.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv, you can get your hands on some pretty sweet Amove swag, including stuff from your favorite Amove show, which I know is The Gamers Inn. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the sound of my voice right now. So head on over to etched.amove.tv or shirts.amove.tv for all of your Gamers Inn swag needs. Which brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is, again, odds and ends. We've got a couple of stories for you. Mm-hmm. First of all, we've got Heroes of the Storm is finally adding Heroes Brawl, which was announced at BlizzCon last year. It has changed names. I believe it was Arena last year when it was announced, but they've changed it to Brawl. They've also changed, at least, I don't know if they've actually changed the way Heroes Brawl is going to work, but they have definitely changed the messaging around it, or it wasn't clear at first. But this is going to be just like any other Brawl in any other Blizzard game. So we've got Tavern Brawl in Hearthstone, you've got Brawl in Overwatch, and basically what it is one set of rules per week, and that's what you play, which is really unfortunate, because that is not what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, really? What were you hoping for? Like,
I thought it was going to be like Assault in Smite, where you go in and it is five random characters. Which, do you remember the trailer that had like the looked like a slot machine, and then like five Illidans pop up?
Yeah.
So it made it look like, you know, you got all random characters each time you went in. I am not as excited for the same set of rules every week. And, you know, like, I would rather assault mode from Smite in Heroes. That would be super cool.
Right. And that gives you the ability to, well, no, assault mode works from the heroes you own, right? That's how that works.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So that
like, you mean in Smite?
Yeah, in Smite.
Oh, yes. In Smite, you can, no, actually, I think you can get any, I think you have a chance to get anything in assault.
Oh, okay. So
maybe.
Like, and that being said, the trailer that they've put out for Heroes Brawl, and which was kind of surprising because I was watching, oh, this is a new trailer. Then it goes into assets and actual footage that we saw at BlizzCon, which was kind of surprising that it really hasn't changed that much. And to kind of my confusion, like, they haven't been talking. They've been kind of, they haven't been talking about it since BlizzCon. But when they do mention it, they're like, yeah, we're they just very like get really touched down, but look, it's Gul'dan, everybody, from the movie. He's gonna suck your life away.
Josh is saying it's what you own and the free rotation. I couldn't remember, Josh, because like we've had the full god pack for as long as forever. I knew you couldn't trade, so like if I had just the free rotation and Ryan had the full god pack, I knew I couldn't trade, but I didn't know that I had absolutely no chance to roll outside of what I owned. But but anyways, yeah, so that's what I was picturing. I was picturing Assault, but in Heroes. So I don't know. I find that when Blizzard decides what experience I want, I tend to like the experience less. So when they say, like, for this week, you're going to play this Brawl, I'm kind of like, eh. Like, I don't play the Brawls in Overwatch. I play the Brawls in Hearthstone because I have to. I also have something in my eye. It's driving me crazy. Because
you have to. Like, the Brawls in Hearthstone are fun.
I do an episode of Angry Chicken every Thursday about whatever the weekly Brawl is. So I literally have to play the Hearthstone Brawl. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like that experience. I think it works in Hearthstone more than other titles, but I just was expecting and hoping for something different in Heroes, and I was really excited. And then I read more into it today, and I was like, I'm not excited anymore.
it's something I'll give a shot, but and Brawl wasn't really something I played a lot of in Hearthstone, nor in Overwatch, for that matter. But when I find it's a really good sort of throwaway mode where, say, like you said, I'm sure they'll still have, they'll have modes where it's like random hero or you know, five Illidan on five Illidan, and they'll set it up in a way that's interesting. Or they'll have a team where the team is sort of made up of, depending on whether there's a Warcraft event or a Starcraft event. I think they'll still use that mode to sort of build events in, because right now events in Heroes of the Storm is like click this thing before you start, you know, and follow it around. That's been sort of their, you know, their celebration of new events being added in, and they haven't really moved away from that. I think this mode gives them the ability to do something like Lucio Ball, or I think Hearthstone, the last one they did was like a preview of an expansion through the Brawl, which was really cool. I think this gives them some room to play with sort of getting people to come into the game. Like, say, you know, when they do an event, they can say, okay, here's the Brawl to go with that event, as opposed to just click on this Zelnaga artifact. You know,
I guess I kind of wish that, like, if they were going to do this Brawl mode, they had also given us what I thought they were going to give us in the first place. So yeah, I don't know. I was just really excited for Smite Assault coming to Heroes, and then so now I'm a little bit let down, but that's because I was expecting something different and I haven't kept up with Heroes news. So it's very possible that I just got my wires crossed right at the beginning at BlizzCon last year. But yeah, so anyways, Heroes Brawl is coming to Heroes of the Storm. I believe it is on the PTR right now and will be available, I believe, next major update, which is probably on Tuesday.
Cool.
So that is very exciting. It is also very exciting for us to start talking about Twitch Prime. So TwitchCon was this past weekend. Unfortunately, I was unable to go. Sad face. But it seemed like everyone had a really, really great time. And I think part of the hype around TwitchCon has been the announcement that this kind of first big, amazing, good thing to come out of Amazon buying Twitch is that now you can link your Amazon account to your Twitch account. And if you have Amazon Prime, you get all of the benefits of Twitch Turbo without having to pay for it, as well as being able to sub to one Twitch channel for free every month. So you do have to go in and resub each month. So you can't just like set it and forget it like you can with a reoccurring payment. But yeah, you can actually just use your Amazon Prime to now sub to Twitch channels, which for Americans is amazing. You guys already have so many benefits to Amazon Prime, like, cause up here in Canada, Amazon Prime for us is basically, the free shipping bonuses, stuff like that. But we don't have like Amazon Video or anything else. And it's more expensive up here than it is down in the States. So kind of the short end of the stick up in Canada, but
for now,
for now,
the fact that they launched Twitch Prime in Canada is awesome. Because before this, we just had 2-day shipping, and I think they announced that you were going to get a discount on new release video games, but that was it. And really only made sense to buy that if you're, A, buying a lot of stuff that you need within 2 days, or buying a lot of video games, which I don't do a lot of either, but I think with these added advantages, I think the more Amazon adds to Prime, the better it's going to get. But I think like free in-game loot, you know, the ad-free viewing, free subscription thing is really neat. I think it should be opt-out instead of opt-in every 30 days. Like, that seems a little ridiculous because you pay for a year. And if you cancel, it's connected. It should just, you know, disconnect that.
It should just stop, yeah.
So I don't know. That's a weird thing. That's almost like a way of making you forget that you need to sub. I don't know. It's really weird. But I signed up for it. I've had Prime in the past, like around Christmas, but I've never really kept it longer than the free trial. But this, I think this is worthwhile for me, especially when, I think when we sub to Twitch channels, it's in American funds.
It is, yeah.
And if you get 12 months, that's basically like half the value of Amazon Prime, which is,
well, I think good. Amazon Prime for us, I believe, is $75 a year, I think.
It's 80, yeah.
Or 80, sorry. Yeah. So 80. And that's Canadian.
Yep.
Versus $5 a month for a Twitch subscription would be $60 American. So basically, if you're going to sub to somebody on Twitch, you might as well get Amazon Prime and get the Amazon bonuses that go with that.
Yeah, and 20% off games basically brings the price down to the American dollar, which is, you know, it's like, oh, I could buy Color Splash for $59.99. I haven't bought a game for that price in ages. This is great.
Exactly.
But the thing for me is when they announce stuff like this, and you as a Twitch subscriber, like the main thing for me was like, okay, are the Twitch subscribers, and I know this isn't the case because we would have followed this article up with Bloody Murder, but subbing for free for 30 days with your Amazon Prime, like that does not change whatsoever on the Twitch
on the partner end?
Yeah, the partner end. Like you still get the same amount, right?
On the partner side of things, mm-hmm. it's kind of confusing and there've been a lot of glitches.
Okay.
But so far, we should also mention if you do Twitch Prime, you get bonuses. Like right now, they've actually partnered with Hi-Rez, so Smite and Paladins. They've also partnered with Blizzard and Hearthstone, so you can get a new Hearthstone hero skin. It's Tyrande. She is really, really cool looking. She has a lot of really neat animations. So.
And she's a priest, right?
She's a priest. Yep. You get a Ymir skin in Smite. You get I can't remember what you get in Paladins, but you get something in Paladins.
It's like a bomb or something.
Which is also why I think since Paladins is tied to this Twitch Prime and all the rest of it, plus the now in open beta, I think that's why it's kind of up on people's list. I completely forgot that Paladins have been tied to Twitch Prime as well. But and then there's it's like an interactive stream game. I think it's called like Streamline or something, or Stream. I can't remember. But anyways, that's mm-hmm. tied into the Twitch Prime as well. So you do get gaming bonuses on top of all the other, you know, free monthly sub and all the rest of it, plus all the Amazon Prime bonuses. So mm-hmm. if you have Amazon Prime already, which a lot of people do, then, you know, like I've seen my sub numbers go up a lot in the last few days when I haven't even been streaming because people are just like, oh, I have a free sub like here. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah.
Because it's not costing. They already have Prime. It's not costing them anything. So from a partner perspective, it does technically pay you the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. But I just got an email today saying that they are that basically wrongly reporting some countries, because there's only specific countries that actually qualify for Twitch and Amazon Prime. It's like US, Canada, France, Germany, UK, Italy, and I feel like there's like 7 or 8 countries that this applies to,
right.
And it doesn't apply to anybody else. But there are many countries that actually have Amazon Prime that just aren't eligible for Twitch Prime. So anyone who has like been in those other countries has gotten the subscribe button, but then like the free subscribe button, but then it won't actually work technically. Right. So like, but they're showing up as subscribers and all that. So they're working out bugs. So it's really hard to tell as a partner right now, like how much money I'm actually going to make.
Right.
So yeah. It's a little bit frustrating right now because it is for most of us streamers, like it's tied to our living. So, you know, to be like, oh my God, I've got all these new subs. This is amazing. Just for them to come back and be like, well, actually, if they're not in the US or Canada or, you know, these other 5 countries, then actually you're not going to get any dollars from that. It's like, oh man.
Yeah, that is a little frustrating, but you know, they'll work out the bugs and they'll get there. It's just, it's nice to see, again, like you said, for Americans, it's like, oh, great, another thing we get for free with our free shipping. For Canada, it's like, oh, it's finally getting to where the value makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because, again, unless you were buying stuff from Amazon, like, every day and ordering the 2-day shipping, like, you were
well, desperately benefiting. Yeah. I do, for sure, like, I order a lot of things from Amazon, and because I have Prime, I default to check Amazon first for a lot of things. And basically, living in Canada, I found if I didn't have Prime, my shipping was ridiculous. Like, it was so expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, just getting free shipping for, you know, 2 or 3 items over the course of the year was worth it, because my shipping was always somewhere between $15 and $20. So I was just like, well, you know what? Why not? So
and they raised the minimum price for free shipping from $25 to $35 in Canada. So like,
yeah,
Yeah. It's making more and more, it actually made more and more sense. And I finally got Prime like full time for a year. And, you know, I'm still holding out hope that they add the video streaming at some point. Essentially, just give me the Amazon originals. That's like, start there. That'd be nice. But no, this is cool. And it's nice to see Amazon doing something with Prime or doing something with Twitch as opposed to just, you know, buying them up and, you know, not changing them, but just doing something with it, adding value to people who are using this system every day.
Yeah, and they also added the ability to upload videos, which I think is really interesting. So you can, instead of just being able to stream and having an archive that eventually gets deleted, you can actually upload content now, which is interesting.
That eventually gets deleted?
No, which won't get deleted. Oh, okay. So it's basically the same thing. Like before, you could go and kind of edit, quote unquote, by, you know, selecting sections of your stream and archiving them. But now they're going to have more robust uploading tools and all the rest of it. So I think it's going to be really interesting because Twitch is posed with the backing of Amazon to be that go-to site for gamers.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to do something really specific and better than YouTube in order to pull creators away from YouTube. Because the thing is, like, YouTube has some serious problems right now with their copyright.
Right.
So basically, it's like, if I upload episode 240 of Gamers In, usually our views happen, you know, day one through three, maybe four. Very rarely, like it's always a new interest spike and then it goes down and there's, you know, people who will watch weeks and months later, but for the most part, your heavy viewership is in those first couple of days. So let's say I go in and I upload episode 240. Mm-hmm. Someone says, "Hey, that's mine." I instantly make no money from that. Mm-hmm. So I get all of my views on the days where the copyright claim is getting sorted out, and then eventually when it is sorted out, YouTube goes, "Oh, that's bullshit." Then all my views are already over and I don't get any money. So that's a huge, huge, huge problem for creators using YouTube. If Amazon and Twitch are able to do something different and, you know, like not mute videos because of music and, you know, like however they deal with all of this kind of copyright stuff, that's going to be really interesting. And if they do it correctly, then people are going to switch. If they don't do it correctly, if they just mute big chunks of video or whatever, or allow copyright claims the same way YouTube does, there's no way the creators are going to try to move their audience from where their audience is already getting their content to a new platform in Twitch. So
right.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see how all this plays out. Twitch and Amazon are in a very interesting place. But I don't know how it's going to shake out. It's all going to come down to this copyright stuff and how much they give the benefit of the doubt to the creator, because YouTube doesn't at all right now. They give the benefit of the doubt to the copyright claimer.
Bots.
Yeah.
A lot of them are bots, and they'll claim things that just, you know, clearly are fair use. And you know, sometimes they will claim things that are, yeah, that's definitely content that you've used in an inappropriate way. And I think there's that healthy balance that Amazon has a chance to strive for, especially since it's like, it's live to hard drive. Like, but now that they're allowing you to upload videos, it's like, okay, they have to have that in place or else you will have a lot of people moving over. But you're going to have a battle on your hands when people start suing you for copyright, when people are using like legitimately stolen content. Like a lot of people listen to music while they stream, and that music is copyrighted, and it's not fair use because it's a soundtrack to your game, right? It's a soundtrack to your stream, and that's, unless you have a license to play that music, you know, like that, you shouldn't be uploading a video with a bunch of music in it, right?
Right, exactly.
And that's instantly going to get flagged, and you shouldn't be surprised when it does. Mm-hmm. But if you use a snippet of 30 seconds of a video that contains new Mario footage and Nintendo like does a copyright claim, which happens all the time.
Yeah, Nintendo is notoriously bad for that.
Yeah, that's fair use, and that's them abusing the system to say, like, no, that 30 seconds of the thing we created that you are using in a constructive way, that's not cool. We need to take all your revenue for that. So that's a bit much. I hope they strive a balance.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward with all of this. But I think that they are posed to take over a market, at least from a gamer perspective. And so I hope that we have some more creator-friendly tools coming out of Amazon and Twitch, but that all remains to be seen. I wanted to remind everybody that we have Extra Life coming up. You can check out bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2016. That is going to be on October 29th. So make sure you go and donate today. I believe Ryan has his page all set up because he's a super keener.
It's in 3 weeks, Jocelyn.
I know. And I keep forgetting that it's 3 weeks. Like, it, October 29th sounds like it's so much further away than it actually is.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. And yes, I could be qualified as a keener. I've already received my first donation. No big deal. It's coming up, and with Thanksgiving this weekend, and you've got lots of other things going on. The 29th will be here before you know it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait. What are you laughing
at? Chat room is making fun of me right now. They're like, "What is a keener?"
They don't know what keener is. Is that a Canadian term?
Yeah, it's like you're like super keen to do something. You're like way ahead of the.
I don't think dropping the ER is going to help them.
You're like the kid sitting in the front of the class, being like, "Oh, teacher, pick me." Keener.
It says here, keener. A person who keens for someone who has died. No, that's not it.
That's
Canadian,
not it.
Informal. A person who is extremely eager, zealous, or enthusiastic.
There you go.
I'm enthusiastic about saving kids. Let me tell you this. Extra Life is interesting. We do it every year. This will be our fifth year, I think. Anyways, we're playing games in support of children's Miracle Network hospitals around the world. I think we both play for Sick Kids, and James plays for Bristol, I think.
Yes. Ryan and I both support Sick Kids Hospital in Toronto. We always have, and it's such a great cause. Every year we do better and better, so I'm really excited to see how it goes this year. We are doing it the weekend before everyone else because the actual Extra Life event is happening the same weekend as BlizzCon, so I will not be here.
Yep.
But we decided we were going to do it the weekend before instead of the weekend after to try to take advantage of a little bit of that hype because it seemed to be kind of like peaking at the event last year and then kind of tapered off a little bit. So when we did our event after the fact, it didn't get as many eyeballs. So
didn't feel as special.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're hoping that by doing it ahead of the weekend, it'll be a little bit more like, haha, exciting for people.
I hope they come into the stream and do that. They just say, ha. We're going to be having we're working on some cool sort of incentives for people donating while we're playing. But there's nothing stopping you from donating now, early. You can throw some stuff in the comments when you donate. It's fair game. You know, wishes good luck. But yeah, we'll have more details, I think, in the coming weeks as we get closer to the 29th. And I pull Jocelyn dragging and screaming to an online forum that is terrible. I will give you that. The website, it took James and I 2 days to get him added to the team. 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't imagine why I'm like not enthusiastic. I'm super enthusiastic about the event because
yes,
I love doing it every year. It's a lot of fun. It's a 24-hour stream, which I think we mentioned. But yeah, we stream for 24 hours from Saturday through till Sunday morning, and it's a ton of fun. We get stupid tired, and it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. I had to play scary games last year at the end to keep myself awake. Oh, so right. I played The Park, which I still haven't finished because it's so terrifying. But
we have to play scary games. It's Halloween weekend.
It is Halloween weekend. So yeah, there's going to be some scary game playing. Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I think we should play some Dead by Daylight. I think that was a really fun scary game, which is multiplayer. So I think that makes a big difference. But yeah, it's so much fun. So I really hope you guys come and hang out. We will be streaming probably right here on twitch.tv/amovetv for the full 24 hours. So yeah, it should be really good. I'm excited for it. So make sure you guys go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2016, all lowercase, except for the 2016, obviously, because you can't have uppercase and lowercase numbers. But yeah, anyways. Check out the link, check out the team, make your donations now or save them for the stream. It is all up to you. I'm very excited. Ryan is very excited. And that's going to do it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn. I almost said I'm at GIS Gamer, which is really weird because that's been literally over a year now.
I had to correct that on the website. I was doing some monitoring, and I'm like, oh, this says GIS Gamer, and we're live Wednesdays at 7, so.
I literally don't even know where I pulled GIS Gamer from, but anyways, I am at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVETV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you thought about, what did we talk about today? I feel like we talked about so much. Twitch Prime, Heroes Brawl, Legion, The Division, EA screwing over Sims, whatever it is.
Best Buy.
Yes, Best Buy. And their total lack of physical games now. Please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.